Hello, I'm James Cridland, the Radio Futurologist, and every week I send out a newsletter, every week or so, I send out a newsletter which is all about trends in radio, and you're not reading it because instead you've got me to read it instead. Perhaps you're in the car. And some really good research, if you are, or even if you aren't, in favour of broadcast radio's place in the car came out this week. A piece of very good research funded by a number of different organisations, compiled using data from Australia, France, Germany, Italy, the UK and the USA. 80% of people say that radio provides a better listening experience in the car than other types of audio sources. And 89% of people want a radio in their car. 85%, by the way, want Bluetooth. So Bluetooth is still pretty high, but it's not as high as radio. 89% of car buyers in those countries say they've listened to radio in the last week. Now, I had a fractious discussion over pizza last week with a man who couldn't believe that anyone listened to the radio these days, and especially not in the car. And this data would seem to show that for the majority, though, radio and cars go together like fish and chips, like pretzels and beer, or like Bunnings and sausage sizzles. It's really good to see. It's the sort of data that all of radio should be working together to produce. So bravo to you if you're one of the many organisations that helped with this piece of work. Now, there's been some big radio consolidation in Australia this week. ARN, which owns 13 radio stations and some of the biggest stations in the capital cities, has acquired Grant Broadcasters. Grant owns 46 radio stations outside the capital cities, and ARN spent $225 million on that deal. Now, in my home city, Brisbane, ARN owns two radio stations. They own 97.3, which is an FM radio station and, I guess, a hot AC-type station, and 4KQ, which is on AM and is a gold station. Now, both are regularly top three radio stations. But because Grants River 94.9 and Hot 91.1 have substantial overlaps into the Brisbane radio area, ARN have hit an ownership cap. And instead of simply not buying River or Hot, they've decided that they will sell 4KQ instead. Now, I was astonished at this. I thought, why on earth would you sell 4KQ? 4KQ is currently number two in the market. It's a bigger radio station than 97.3, their other one. It's got a total market share of 11.3%. So why on earth would you want to sell it? Well, I then went to have a look at the audience breakdown, and it's pretty obvious why 4KQ is the one that they've basically gone, actually, no, we don't want it. Because when you have a look, and if you get the newsletter, you'll have a beautiful graph showing this. When you have a look at the age of the 4KQ listener, three quarters of those listeners are over 55, and over half of those listeners are over 65. Not to put it too indelicately, but 4KQ's listeners probably don't have a massive future. Now, it's a great radio station, but if you have a look at the total amount of 45 to 54 listeners, which should be tomorrow's listeners to 4KQ, they've only got 10% of those. That's not a massive amount of people listening to that radio station. Only 10% of the 4KQ audience is 40 to 54. That seems to suggest to me that there hasn't been a replenisher plan. And what they've been really focusing on is their core audience of 65 plus. And that's about as much as they've done. So frankly, it's not a great long-term radio station. So it's no wonder, frankly, that they've decided to put that one up on the chopping block. Now, Ace Radio would have been the obvious contender to buy 4KQ, but Ace has just been appointed as the operators of the 4BH license. And the 4BH license is also an oldies radio station and is also on AM, although it has a worse frequency here. So if you were Ace Radio, would you operate a radio station for free in return for cash? Or would you dig deep for a costly but flawed AM license? I think Ace Radio have probably chosen quite well there. Of interest to those in the UK, and I quote from Radio Today or Radio Info, one of the two, they say, they're owned by the same people now, so hey, who cares? They say, regulator ACMA will consider this acquisition a, quote, trigger event. What does that mean? Well, it means that the new owner of the radio stations have to keep staffing at the same levels as it is today for 2 years. There's a thing. Just imagine if Ofcom ended up doing that when Bauer took over all of those radio stations. Now, one of the slightly unusual things about Australian radio is that regional broadcasters take content from their larger competitors. Those grant stations that ARN have just bought take some content, in fact, quite a lot of content, from SCA. Now, ARN will quickly jettison that and replace it with their own stuff. But those grant stations also take quite a lot of speech content from Nine Radio, and ARN don't yet have an adequate replacement for that. So, who knows quite what's going to happen there. ARN also get a radio sales house called the Radio Sales Network as part of the deal, which represents 122 radio stations in total, which is quite a good buy. And unlike the UK, the sale also includes the transmission equipment as well, which is worth a bob or two. Now, I'm a guest on Saturday morning on RNZ next weekend. For most of us, Saturday morning would better be called Friday night, because that's when most of you will be able to have a listen. I'm being interviewed by Kim Hill, who is, according to her biography, unquestionably one of New Zealand's finest current affairs interviewers. I'm told that the interview is going to last half an hour. I've already had two pre-interviews for it, so you can imagine how nervous I am already. And it's still 7 days away. But anyway, you'll be able to listen in online. And I suspect the Frosties radio will make an appearance, which is one of my usual stories about radio. Now, a note to you, if you run a radio website, that you should take a look at the Saturday morning website on RNZ. It's got a really good disaggregated page. It's got every piece of the program available as separate bits, with artwork for every single bit, clear descriptions for it. It looks fantastic. It looks really smart. Now, compare that to Radio 4's Today programme. That same page for Radio 4's Today programme, the episode page, consists of a play button and mention of three things: sports desk, weather, which is hardly a draw for listen-again audiences, and Thought for the Day. If you're unfamiliar with Thought for the Day, it's a three-minute feature that only exists because nobody at the BBC has the balls to get rid of it. Today doesn't even mention the word news in its billing, let alone what was actually on the programme that I've linked to. Now, if you drill a little bit deeper, Radio 4's Today programme's website has no explanation of what to expect from the programme. The main hero link on the website links to an episode from 2 months ago, which is now so old it doesn't actually play. And possibly most tellingly, only two items have been worthy of putting on the highlights page from this year. Only two items. We've only had two highlights in 2021. This is BBC News' flagship programme on domestic radio. And I am just astonished about how unloved it is online. So, wow, what a thing. Elsewhere, I'm also speaking at the EBU's Forecast 2021 this week. It's a free event if you work at an EBU member company. I have a feeling that I'll be speaking at about 1 o'clock in the morning, so great, looking forward to that. Some history. I link to a really fascinating article from the NSE all about the rollout of the BBC in the 1920s, which increased voter turnout in the UK quite substantially as well. It's just one example of how media can affect voting behaviour, says the author. One thing that I was going to mention in my newsletter this week but didn't is that actually if you take a look at Germany wasn't allowed to run national radio after the Second World War because radio was so successful as a tool for the German government prior to the Second World War. So it's just another example of the power of radio. I also link to a review of my keynote and others, I suppose, at the OAB conference. I can literally only see the first paragraph, so I'm hoping that the review is a good review and not a bad review. Really enjoyed taking part in the OAB conference, albeit virtually. I think it was Chris Burns' last year as running it, and I think he's been doing that for 10 years. He's done a fantastic job. So hopefully I will be asked back again, if not next year, the year after, and hopefully I'll be able to actually go to Canada again. It's a wonderful place and well worth going to. It sounds profitable this week, soundsprofitable.com, an interesting look at the history of comparative advertising. There were rules, and probably still are, about comparative advertising on the radio, and I remember having to tread quite carefully about those, so that's worthwhile doing. I also link to Kelowna 10, which is a news app from some Paterson stations in Kelowna in British Columbia in Canada. It's got a really nice, fresh look and feel. It's well worth having a download and a play with that. And I'm really interested at why radio stations who spend a long time promoting their music format, you know, the Albatross, feel-good songs from the last 30 years, then tries to also own news, the Albatross, Kelowna's News Network, with the same brand. It just doesn't work. So launching a separate news brand seems quite a sensible plan. And Kelowna 10 looks like it's taken plenty of cues from TikTok. In case you're wondering about the name, it contains the 10 biggest stories for Kelowna, Kelowna 10. Kind of makes sense. Matt Deegan has written about radio's youthquake, and a long thing about how worried he is for the future of the medium based on younger audiences. I would add that the countries that have public service radio deliberately targeting the youth audience, places like Denmark or Norway or the UK, appear to see a healthier radio market than places that aren't, like, you know, the US and Canada. And if markets can't be bothered making content for 15 to 24-year-olds, it's no surprise that those people are deserting radio for people who love them more. So an interesting piece from Matt there. Sad also to see Adam Bolton leaving Sky News. He was their political editor for a long, long time. From my point of view, watching admired broadcasters leaving after watching them for decades makes you feel quite old. And Adam comes across in that article as if Sky is changing quite fast these days and he doesn't really want to be around anymore, which seems a shame. But also, going back to 4KQ earlier, you kind of do have to reinvent yourself, because if you don't reinvent yourself, then your audience quite literally dies. And that's probably a bad thing. As ever, the ABC is under quite a bit of pressure. Your ABC versus their IPA is a good video, which I linked to today, and done by people who used to work at the ABC rather than the ABC themselves. And I think that's interesting. There's a thing called the BBC alumni, which I'm part of, which isn't at a similar arm's length. It's owned and operated by the BBC itself. And perhaps this is a potential learning for the BBC and others like it, to nurture organisations like the ABC alumni, but don't go running them, because then you can't really sit back and say that you've got nothing to do with them. So it's quite a crafty idea. Also, somebody's asked me for images to reflect an appearance I'm doing about radio's future, and I always link to the Radio Centre's images. They're free, they're available to everybody, and well worth having a look at. You'll find that link in my show notes and in the newsletter. I always say in my show notes and in the newsletter. What I really mean is in the newsletter, because my show notes literally just link to the newsletter, because I'm very lazy. One thing that I've just realised, I haven't put in the newsletter yet, but I will do. The Signal, which is a daily news podcast from the Australian ABC, is to end, according to an announcement from one of the podcast's hosts. Now, the show was launched in February 2018. It's a daily monthly news podcast for 20 and 30-something Australians. It's a really good listen. And the email sent to all ABC News staff, which I got hold of, said that the market has been crowded with similar offerings, all largely chasing the same under 40s listener. And we've watched our growth slow. So what have they decided to do? They've decided to get rid of it and replace it with something called ABC News Daily from the end of January, which is aimed at 40 to 55-year-old women, which is the same target audience as ABC Local Radio. And what it also does is it's basically left the broadcaster without any daily news audio output aimed at audiences between 24 to 40. They basically appear to be giving that entire target market up, and basically going, no, we're not interested in those people anymore. We're here for very young people with Triple J and very old people, and there'll just be a yawning gap in the middle. As you may tell, not entirely convinced that I agree. Thank you to Richard Hilton and to Brun Audio Consulting for your ongoing support of this newsletter and this podcast. I'm very grateful to you. If you'd like to support my work in any way, you can buy me a coffee. buymeacoffee.com/JamesCridland. If you become a member, you can give regularly, or you can just give a one-off coffee, or five or ten. That's where to go. buymeacoffee.com/JamesCridland. And my professional website has more detail about who I am, what I do, and whether I can help you further. It's james.cridland.net is the place to go. And that's it from this week. Hope that's been enjoyable to you, and keep listening.